In Sabbath school class this morning, I promised the group I was going to tell a funny story, and then I forgot. And so I've been sitting back here frantically thinking, how can I make it fit with the scripture reading? And I think I figured out a way. An old friend wrote to us this morning a text and said, I have a new GPS. It not only tells me where to go, it reminds me why I was going there. Now, those of you who are laughing, good. You understand it well. The rest of you will get it later. But in this verse, Jesus tells us where to go, and I am sure he will help us remember why. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you to the very end of the age.
I have often been criticized for humor. So thank you, Dina. I appreciate humor. I think that Jesus used humor. I'm certain that when he said, if you have a beam in your own eye to try to take a mote out of your brother's eye, I'm sure that the disciples and many of the people that were listening to that thought that was pretty funny, to think that you get, try to picture a beam. These are beams. If you figure you have one of those in your eye, and then I'm going to try to take a sliver out of yours, that could be a very difficult task. There are many of you here this morning, okay, six that I see, that I haven't seen before. Some of you I have. So I'd like to welcome you as our visitors this morning. I hope that I won't disappoint you. I have many people praying for me. They know that I need it badly. So let's encourage them by having one more prayer before we get started. Our Father in heaven, how good it is to be here, vertical and above the green. We thank you for the life that you have given each one of us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that without him there would be no life here at all. And we are grateful that he sacrificed his life that we could have life eternal. And so this morning we come before you once again. I especially pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint my lips and my mind, that I will speak clearly, that I will speak your words and not my own. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint each individual here this morning, that they will hear your words and not just hear them and it bounce off of them like a rubber ball, but that it would actually absorb into their minds and into their hearts this morning. And we thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Distraction dilemma. Andrea said, what picture do you want? I said, I don't have any idea. I don't think about pictures very much. And I said, anybody preaching? She said, how about Paul? How about Peter? So let me ask you, now that you see the picture up there, is this Peter or is this Paul? Yes. There you go. You got the answer. Could be either or both. And I don't really care. It just is preaching. My thought, I had another sermon completely, and then somebody up and did something that made it absolutely impossible to do that sermon. So I had to scrap it and start all over again. So, and I hope that's extremely vague, and you won't have any idea who is at fault for that, and they probably will never know, and I certainly don't plan on telling them. I cause a distraction dilemma for poor Devereaux back there. He runs the camera, and I move a lot. Did you follow that, Devereaux? All right, yeah. I love you, Devereaux. You're great. You are great. I will try not to move that fast, though, although my name is... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. My last name is Quick, and so yes. But I started thinking about this sermon a while back because of the fact that we've had a lot of political unrest in our nation. And the 2020 elections came up and things didn't happen the way some people wanted them to. And then the 2022 elections came up and it seemed like it got scrambled up even more. And yours truly got involved in a lot of that. And I started getting acid indigestion and my stomach knotted up and I started to grit my teeth. And I realized something. And I want you to notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to go through some of the distractions that we have. Matthew 28, I know she read it. I'm reading it out of the New King James. She read it out of the New International Version, and that's okay. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let me ask you. You're waiting with bated breath. Did that mention anything about the 2024 election? Did that say anything on the TV? Does it say anything about politics? No. Did it say anything about, let's see, what else? Political correctness. Did it say anything in there about injustice? No. Okay. Did it talk about social norms being perverted? No, it didn't talk about that. Did it talk about TV shows? Food? No. How about your home? Your auto? I said autos because some people have trucks, some people have SUVs, and some people have cars. When I was up in Idaho, everybody had a rig. When they said, "How's your rig?" and I was thinking, "I don't have a semi." So I was really confused for a couple of months until I got the point that when they talked about your rig, they were talking about your automobile. Whew. A lot of people, my next door neighbor, has a beautiful Chevy pickup truck, and he washes it all the time. So where is his focus? His automobile. And a lot of people, the lady across the street from me, mows her lawn and gardens and weed eats and does all these things on her house over and over and over again, week after week after week after week after week after week, ad nauseum. And she loves a green lawn. And unfortunately, her backyard, which is down the hill, doesn't have any green grass in it anymore because something happened in there. She's fertilized it. She's done all kinds of things. She added more seed to it, blah, blah, blah. And it still didn't grow. So now she's finally having to let it go, and she works on the front yard, which I appreciate. It's beautiful to look at. Gorgeous yellow house with white trim and green lawn and red Sedona-type rocks in the front and stuff. So I wash dishes, and I look out my window at her beautiful lawn. I look out at my rocks and my weeds, and I think, what is my Christian mission? Whether I'm a new Christian or whether I'm a seasoned Christian. I had old in my notes, and I thought, no, that would be politically incorrect to say that you're old. Seasoned would be the more politically correct. And I want to be politically correct this morning because I may have relatives of mine that listen for my political correctness. I do have relatives that listen to me, and it's something I know that I do say things from time to time, and I know it bothers them because when I tell them about it, they're real quiet. And I go, okay, I've said something wrong. So I'm hoping I won't do anything to upset the apple cart in that respect. But we as Seventh-day Adventists have a mission, do we not? All righty, let's see what that mission is. Revelation. I'm not hearing Bible pages. Revelation chapter 14. I want you to read with me this morning. If I got to work, you got to work. And we're going to be in several places today. Some of what I say will refer back to that all authority that Jesus is talking about. But we as the Seventh-day Adventist Church have a mission that is different from and unique to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In fact, what I'm going to read here in Revelation 14, you probably will have to look really hard throughout the rest of Christendom to ever find it being spoken of in any other church but ours. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 12. And it starts out in verse 6. It says that I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. I'll stop there for now. That's our message. The first angel, the first messenger, says to proclaim what? The everlasting gospel. Did Abraham have that gospel? Yes, Abraham had that gospel. Joseph had that gospel. Several in the Old Testament, they all had that gospel. And it came into the New Testament, and we now have that gospel, that good news. That's what gospel means, is good news. And it was to be preached to the world, all the world. Because it doesn't say, just preach it to the people in the United States. It says to all those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. Everybody. Jesus didn't want to let anybody slip through the cracks. He wanted everybody to have the opportunity to hear the good news of salvation. And so, we preach that message. The second part of that first angel talks about a judgment. It says, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that the 2300-day prophecy of Daniel 8:14, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And we've had a lot of people go through the years and give us a thumbs down saying how terrible we are to say that we're being judged now. They would rather believe that when you die, you immediately go to some place, like in front of Peter, and you have enough points scored so that you can get in the kingdom, that your judgment takes place there. No. The judgment started in October 22nd of 1844. And I put that number on it. I know there are some Adventist preachers who will avoid that. They'll dance around that like a Mexican hat dance. And they don't want to give a specific date or a specific time. But you know what? Jesus is extremely specific. And He doesn't want us to go around guessing as to when things took place. He wants us to know. And He gave us a very solid day. And a very solid year. And He wants us to be able to proclaim that to the world, not just to a few people. You saw a beautiful presentation from Adventist World Radio, beautiful song. And if you ever get any of their information, I'm fortunate enough to get on their mailing list, so they send me emails once a week, and they have really neat things that take place in there, and I like them. A lot of the things that are happening. We learned a lot about the Philippines and what they were doing there. Oh, there you are, Sharon. Just show off. Go ahead. It's okay. She's one of the representatives for AWR in our church and throughout the Arizona Conference. But they do a great work. So trust me, ladies and gentlemen, this message is getting out whether you sit in your pew and twiddle your thumbs or whether you sit home and watch your TV set, Jesus is still preaching this gospel. and that judgment has come. And understand that we don't know when that judgment transfers from the dead to the living. Ooh, that's a thought. Let that thought sink in. What if your judgment day, you've proclaimed, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my name is written in the book of life. We want it there, right? Say yes, and you'd be correct. Yes, we want our names written in the book of life. And that judgment takes place on the people's names in the book of life. And if your works don't match up with what's written in that book, if what you do and what you say and how you act and what you think doesn't match up, your name gets removed from that book. How many of you want your name removed from the book of life? Nobody. Oh, that's the correct answer. So that judgment has come. And then it says here, the third part of the first angel is, and worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. That really smacks of a commandment. Do you remember what commandment that might be? Number four. So that means we should honor our father and our mother, right? That's commandment number four. Depends on whose commandments you're looking at. But number four in some churches is honor your father and your mother. In the real Ten Commandments that appear in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, it talks about the Sabbath, doesn't it? Which day is the Sabbath day? Seventh day. Oh. Do you know God is very simple? I have a kind of a mantra that I have, two of them actually. One is kiss. Keep it short and simple. The second is, and I got this from working in theater for a number of years, it says always leave them wanting more. Because some of us have a tendency that we want to preach, and we 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 preach. And when you start to see the people yawning in the audience, it's usually a pretty good indication it's time to call it quits. And I learned that when I was up as a chaplain for a nursing home up in Idaho. And my wife and I would sing there from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. We'd sing and play our ukuleles, and the people always sang with us, and they enjoyed it immensely, and it was a lot of fun. And I used to have about a five-minute little talk that I would do. And within 30 seconds of that five-minute talk, at least five to six of them were sound asleep. And I used to get really insulted when people fell asleep during my sermons. But after that, I kind of got over it. I figured, well, you know, if in 30 seconds they can be asleep, anybody. People are tired in this day and age. And so that happens. So I don't worry about it. But the point is that God wants us to keep it short and simple. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, I won't bother and labor you to do that. But God gives a commandment to the people, to Adam and Eve. There were only two. So, and it's still people, right? If there's two, it's people, it's not person. So male and female, he made them people. And so the people that were there, God says, I've given you every tree of the garden. I put you there. It's a great place to live. Dress it and keep it. And you can eat anything that's there except the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's like you come over to my house and come to my house on Thanksgiving. We have a beautiful turkey. And there's dressing, and there's mashed potatoes, and there's gravy, and there's rolls, and there's broccoli, and there's all kinds of food there. I mean, the table is just amassed with whatever you could ever possibly want. It's just great. And I say, you can have everything here except the turkey. You can eat anything but the turkey. Now, if you're a human being, what do you want to eat? The turkey! Exactly! And that's what human beings did. God said, don't eat that tree. And what did they do? They ate it. Boy, that's just been a human thing from the get-go. But God wanted to keep that very simple. Wasn't it simple? It was extremely simple. All I want you to do is not eat of that one tree. And you couldn't do it. If it had been something difficult, then Satan and all of his cohorts could have said, well, you made it too difficult for him. Look what a mess you made because you made it too hard. And God said, no, I want to make it simple. And why do I bring that up? Because we are talking about the fourth commandment and worshiping God who created the heavens and the earth, which smacks of the Sabbath, doesn't it? And we know that in the end of time, just before Jesus comes, he's going to keep it short and simple. Either keep the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday, or follow man's laws and keep man-made Sunday. It's a simple test. Very simple. You either pick one or the other. There's not a whole lot of doctrinal differences out there. There's not a whole lot of other things that he's going to put it to the test. But that will be the test. Are you going to keep God's seventh day Sabbath? Or are you going to keep man's first day Sabbath? Keep it short. Keep it simple. And he wants to do that. We move on to the second angel. And what does the second angel say? Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Now in Revelation 18 verses 1 to 4, it gives that same thing. So since you're already in Revelation chapter 14, just turn over a couple of pages to Revelation 18. Revelation 18 says, and after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great what? Authority. Boy, now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried very quietly, with a still small voice, he shouted. It says that he cried mightily with a loud voice, like I have. Most of the time I don't need the microphone, but I try to save my voice and your ears, and I try not to do that. But you drop down to verse 4, and what does it say there? I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Wait a second. I thought the Adventist church was God's people. Aren't we the remnant church? Well, is there God's people in other churches? That can't be. Can it? Oh, man, are you kidding me? We got to put up with them now? I went to a church where we were trying to get a lot of people in, and we were gathering more and more people. We started out with like 8 people at prayer meeting and developed into like 25. And one of the members of that church said, oh, no, that's the way it is. We want more people. All that's going to do is get more people in our church. I had to scrape my chin off the floor with a knife. I couldn't believe it. What, are you kidding me? Is that not what we're here for? Well, yeah. Pilar knows who I'm talking about. Don't say anything. All right, behave yourself. But God says to come out from her, my people. My people. Jesus said, I have sheep that are not of this fold. But when I call, they will hear my voice and they will come out. It's our job to go to them. And this angel that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, that angel will be us, empowered with the Holy Spirit. And when we have it in Joel chapter 2, verse 23, it says that I will send you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. The former rain was poured out on Pentecost, and we see that Jesus, go with me, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Can't pass this one up, you got to get this one. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Because Jesus says there's something coming here. He says, but you shall receive what? Power. Do you ever feel like when you try to talk to somebody, you might as well spit into the wind? You might as well be talking to the wall that they're standing next to. There's no power there. There's nothing that happens. They have no reaction whatsoever other than go away and leave me alone. But Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And if you go over to chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It wasn't Peter walking down the street and John over on another street and the Holy Spirit fell down on them individually as they were walking and doing whatever. They were all with one accord in one place. They had prayed for 10 days. Jesus had been on the earth for 40 days and he finally ascended to heaven. And he said, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit falls and you receive that power. So for 10 days, they got together in that upper room together and they prayed together. And they put away their differences. And I said, Christy, I know your mother is ugly and she dressed you funny. And I know that you wear combat boots and fatigue caps to church, but I'm going to forgive you for that. And Christy looks at me and she said, and I forgive you for being ugly and for having brown eyes. And I'm using those as absolute abstract things. They had real problems. Did John and James want to have first place next to Jesus? Did Judas have any jealousy of that? Did the rest of the disciples have a problem with that? Yeah. They all wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom, and there were things that needed to be put away. Do we have that same problem today? Do we have difficulties that Don gets to preach up here and I don't? Well. I'd be glad to give it to you. No, I wouldn't. I like to preach. I enjoy it. It's fun. I like to make people laugh. I like to make people cry. But more than anything, I like to make people grasp Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and hang on for dear life and never let go. And if my preaching doesn't do that, then I'm a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. But here we find that they were, according to verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. Every last one of them. Were there women in that bunch? You mean God's Holy Spirit falls on women too? That's a horrible thought, isn't it? Yes, God's Spirit falls on women. And he calls them to come out. The angel number 3 says, do not worship the beast or his image, or you will suffer God's wrath. And in Revelation chapter 16, there are 7 last plagues that fall on this earth just before Jesus returns. And that's part of the wrath of God that falls on this planet. And all of those plagues that fall, whether it's heat, whether it's blood, whether it's whatever, whatever that Babylon had done to cause grief and heartache in the world comes back on her head. And they suffer for it badly. I won't read all 7 of them. I already see people yawning, so it's time for me to quit. Revelation 18:1. Let's go back there. Revelation 18:1. There's a couple of things I just don't want to miss. That's why I had notes. For once, I'm going to follow them. It's not often that I do that. That says that I saw another angel coming down from heaven having what? Great authority. What did it say in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18? All what? All authority. When we have the authority to preach, that means we have the right to do it, doesn't it? And we have the right to preach because God gave us that right. We have that right, we have that privilege to go to people and tell them about Jesus Christ and his salvation. But in that third angel, it says that we have to tell them to not worship the beast. Who's the beast? Do you know who the beast is? If you don't, we have some really good Bible studies that will tell you who the beast is. Who's the image to the beast? Oh, well, everybody gets real quiet about these things because those things are politically incorrect and we can't talk about those. That's called hate speech. You don't want to tell them who the beast is, and you don't want to tell them who the image to the beast is, because when you do that, it sets you at odds with the people that are around you. Do you want that? You know, the voice of the martyrs, there's a lot of people who tell people about Jesus in this world, and they get put in prison, and they are tortured, and they are killed. There are people who lose their husbands and their wives and their children. When I was working at Camp Yavapai Pines years ago, Gary, our camp director, had a book from Voice of the Martyrs, and it was a devotional, and it had all kinds of different stories from around the world that they talked about in there. And there was one story that took place in Russia where several of the people that were Christians, they wanted them to refute it and give it up and become the communists that they should be. And so when they did, or when they didn't, I should say, then the Russians did some things to their children, which I won't bring up because I almost climbed over the back of my chair at the camp when he read what they did. It would have absolutely turned your stomach. But people do that to try to get Christians to stop believing in Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that time is coming for you and me. Are you ready? I don't know that I am. It scares me half to death. The Holy Spirit will empower the message. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak when that time comes. Many in the other religions will come out of Babylon's false teachings in those days. The sad part is, some of the people that are here with us today will go out. In the Great Controversy on page 608, it says, as the storm approaches, it didn't hear yet, it says, as the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. By uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light, and when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy, popular side. Men of talent and pleasing address, who once rejoiced in the truth, employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls. They become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. When Sabbath keepers are brought before the courts to answer for their faith, these apostates are the most efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse them, and by false reports and insinuations to stir up the rulers against them. I remember a disciple of Christ who said to him, though all forsake thee, yet will not I. What was his name? Wow, you remember his name, don't you? Do you want people to remember your name in this vein? I don't. But I think Peter thought he was saved. Peter thought he was safe. Peter thought he would stand the test. But when the test came, he failed. Bitterly. And he went out and wept bitterly. How about you? There's another statement, page 593. It's only one sentence. I was just going to write this down, but I'm going to read it. I misquoted this verse, this particular sentence, for a number of years, so I'm going to say it right from here. None. How many is none? Is that zero? That's zero. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. What distractions in your life are keeping you from this book, from these books. Because I believe in Ellen G. White as well, and I believe that God gave her messages to point to this book. Because we were too slothful to reading this book, He needed to give us something else to point here, because we were a little bit thick-skulled to get it. Are you going to get it? Will you be part of the none but those who have fortified their minds with the truths of God's Word will be able to stand in the last days? You want it? Do you know when you prepare for it? It's like I went to Wes Frank's job and he said, we've got this electrical job, do you want to do it? And so I asked his worker, Sammy, I said, Sammy, when do you need it done? He said, yesterday. That's when their preparation needed to be made, yesterday. If you wait to the last minute, there were people at the time of Noah that looked up at the cloudless skies and said, when we see any atmospheric anomalies, we'll then turn and we'll join with you, Noah. But until that time, forget it, because we don't know that it's really going to take place. They didn't have the faith to believe it. Where do you stand today? Where do I stand? I worry about me. I worry that I stand up here and I preach and that I will be lost, because somewhere along the way I won't be willing to stand the cold or the hunger or the whatever when the test comes. But if you're not spending time in that Word today, when that test comes, then I'll guarantee you absolutely, positively, unequivocally, you will not make it. Am I speaking too strong? I thought preachers were supposed to preach the truth. And if I can't preach the truth to Seventh-day Adventist Christians, who am I going to preach it to? If we don't get ready now, we will not be ready then. So my challenge to you is, don't let this world's distractions drag you away from this message that needs to be preached. Give it everything you've got, ladies and gentlemen. Give it everything you've got. Because you know what? Your eternal destiny rides on it. It is, in fact, a life or eternal death decision for you and for me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. This morning, Lord, we've talked about some really serious topics. But we don't want to just let it lie here. We want to make a decision this morning, Lord. We want to make a decision for Jesus Christ and for this message to live in us. That we will not be just hearers of your word, but we will be doers of the word. Help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Let us join together in groups and pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon our congregation here in this area. We know that it's not going to come just boom, but there will be little bits and pieces that will fall here and there, and it may fall around others, but it may not get us because we are not ready. Please, Lord,